just looking back over this past week, probably the biggest event was obviously the FOMC meeting in the US. And yeah, we've had a mix of data in the US over the last few weeks where there's still been a lot of signs of strength, which would tend to suggest that they'd needed to do a little bit more tightening. That wasn't the case, and the commentary that came out from Powell, if anything, was giving a hint that they may have finished tightening for the time being, that the risks are balanced between inflation risk and the economy starting to come down. And so that really reinforced some of the rally which has started to develop in the bond market in the US from late October. And it was quite powerful over the course of this past week. And it was partly reinforced by the data later in the week too. So after the FOMC meeting, we got the non-farm payrolls report came out. And it's not that this was unduly weak, but there was a hint of softness in it. And so we had, for example, non-farm payrolls, they were expected to lift by 180,000. They lifted by 150,000, so it's a little bit less. Also, the previous month's reading, which was 336,000, was revised down to 297,000. The unemployment rate lifted one notch too, so it went up from 3.8 to 3.9. The low point for US unemployment was 3.4%. So we've had a bit of a lift running through the unemployment rate over the course of the last few months. And some of the leading indicators we had coming out over the past week, just on the softer side, we had the ISM manufacturing index came out, and that came down from 49 to 46.7. It was expected to stay at 49. So, that's, again, on the softer side for a leading indicator. The ISM non-manufacturing PMI, the services sector one, still above 50, but it came down from 53.6 to 51.8. And with the non-farm payrolls data, the day before people were looking at the initial jobless claims, they've just lifted a little bit. We were into the high 190,000s. Going back a week ago, we were at 212,000. This most recent week's lifted to 217,000. So it's just that hint that things might be on the softer edge. That's been enough to get people very, very excited. And this week, we haven't got a lot in the way of any data to really change things much, although we have got a speech by Powell later in the week. And it does seem odd that he sort of gave such a green light last week to the idea that they'd finish raising rates. He may alter that, so there's a risk that we could get some alteration to that, particularly given the market reaction to those comments. I can't imagine that when you've got the US economy, which is still growing at over 4% annualized, that he's really comfortable that they've entirely finished raising rates. So I think there's some volatility to come in this as we go a bit further forward. The data release is very limited. We've got consumer credit data. We've got initial jobless claims, which is really the key one of the week, the weekly. It was at 217,000. People will be watching to see if it's around that mark again for the most recent week. We've got the Powell speech, and we've got a final reading of Michigan consumer sentiment, which has actually been rising. So we're expecting to see that a little bit higher when it comes out on Friday at 65 from 63.8. Moving to China, and the data releases that came out, they're all leading indicators, are the PMI data that comes out at the end of the month, beginning of the new month, and whether it was the official or the Kaixin version of that, they're all on the softer side relative to expectations. So the official manufacturing PMI, it was expected to be at 50.2, the same as where it was the month before. It fell to 49.5. The non-manufacturing PMI of the services sector, it was at 51.7 going back a month ago. It was expected to hold around that level, if not rise a little bit. It came down to 50.6. And the Kaixin manufacturing PMI, the more reliable one, for the month of October, came down from 50.6 to 49.5. That was expected to be 50.8, so well below what was expected. And the non-manufacturing PMI at 50.4 from 50.2, but it was expected to rise a little bit, the Kaixin one, to 51.2. So all of that a little bit on the softer side. But if anything, it's putting pressure back for some sort of policy initiative. So you know, I think the market's always on watch for that to see whether that's going to come out of China. This week, we'll get on Tuesday their international trade data, exports and imports. You know, these have been pretty soft. They may be a little less soft. So on the exports, they were down 6.2% year on year, going back to September, expected to maybe moderate to minus 3.1%. Imports, 6.2% down for that, going back the previous month, expected to come maybe in at about minus 5.4%. And towards the end of the week, we'll get the October CPI and producer price index, both showing flat annual inflation for the CPI and producer prices falling at about the same pace as they did the month before, down 2.5% year on year. It is interesting, you know, the current visit by our own Prime Minister to China. China's on a charm offensive at the moment to try and get better economic relations with many countries. And you know, there's reason behind this. Yeah, the Chinese economy is not performing well at present. And one of the key concerns up there at the moment is rising levels of youth unemployment, which on some measures is over 20%. Yeah, there's a groundswell of discontent with the regime, which is very rarely expressed in public for obvious reasons. But it's something that the government up there is acutely aware of and will be trying to do something about if it can do it. So yeah, the risk of them making some sort of economic announcement is actually quite high. Now, as far as Australia is concerned, this is where we're a weird odd man out. Yeah, over the tail end of last month, we had several central banks all on hold. You know, whether it was the Bank of Canada, whether it was the ECB, Bank of England, and the Fed, all holding rates. Now, you know, the ECB rates are down around 4%, but in all the other cases, they're above 5%. Now, in the case of Australia, something's changed over October. We've gone from having a relatively good inflation performance by international comparison to having a relatively bad one. Our inflation rate's now noticeably higher than it is in Europe and also the US. And on top of that, you know, we've had some slowing running through economic activity, but not as much as perhaps would be needed to keep inflation coming down. And so last week we had September retail sales came out. They were a lot stronger than expected, up 0.9% month on month. You know, the expectation was 0.3%. The third quarter retail sales in real terms, the volume of retail sales lifted by 0.2% quarter on quarter. That comes after three consecutive quarterly falls. So it's actually bounced a little bit. We had home loans up another 1.2%. So, you know, those are rekindling, if anything. Private sector credit came out and this appears to be rekindling as well. September private sector credit amount was expected to be up 0.3% month on month. It was up 0.5%. So that's actually quite a strong result as well. The only softish one there, home building approvals, after a bounce the month before, came down by 4.6%. But it's all adding to that pressure point that came from the higher-than-expected inflation result the week before. For the RBA to hike rates on Tuesday, and they're going to be an odd man out because that's not what's happening most other places around the world. And part of it's because we've got a higher inflation rate than around the world, and we've got a lower official cash rate, and you know, obviously, you know, that doesn't work. The IMF at the end of last week pointed out that Australia needs higher interest rates, and they were prepared to, it was almost like the Voldemort where you can't say the name, but they made it pretty plain that it's the government that's contributing to inflation in just about everything it does. And so, yeah, that's something which obviously the Reserve Bank hasn't been prepared to say. It's interesting that over the weekend, the Treasurer has said that they're going to start looking at infrastructure spending and start about looking where they can bring that back down, because that's one of the areas that was identified by the IMF as really contributing to Australia's poor inflation outlook. So it's sort of this is where the RBA is a little bit, and that's why one reason why our bond yields, they have rallied a bit with the international bond rally late October into the first part of this month, but nowhere near as much as the US bonds have rallied. So it's just interesting the way in which this is developing. On Friday this week, after the RBA decision, we get the Reserve Bank's quarterly monetary policy statement. And this is where it really they have to raise rates on Tuesday, because they're going to have to lift their inflation forecasts. It will now mean that they won't have inflation coming down within inside their target band until 2026. If that were to come to fruition, it means that inflation would have been outside of their target band and well above it for the best part of 4 going on 5 years. Now, that's obviously way too long for inflation to be outside of band. And so, that's the other pressure point which is building for the RBA this week. Moving to Europe, and it was mostly a story of softer economic conditions. When I say softer economic conditions, they had their Q3 GDP came out. Now, remember that going back a week or so ago, we had US GDP that came out at 4.9% annualized. It's 1.2% quarter-on-quarter change. Q3 GDP came out for Europe. It was minus 0.1%. And the annual rate of change on inflation has now fallen to only 0.1%. from 0.5% going back the quarter before. So way weaker growth running through Europe than you're seeing either here or in the US. And that in turn is actually bearing down on their inflation rate. So we had their October CPI came out. Now wait for this one. Europe had a way higher inflation rate than Australia even 2-3 months ago. The October CPI came in at 0.1% quarter on quarter, compare and contrast ours at 1.2%, and the annual rate of inflation came down to 2.9% year on year from 4.3%. Sure, the core inflation rate was a bit higher, it was 0.2%, again, compare and contrast ours at 1.2%, the annual rate came down to 4.2% from 4.5%. So, this is just another example that, with weaker growth, yes, it will bring back inflation. And we've allowed our growth to run stronger for longer, relatively, even though we think we're doing it tough. But nothing compared with Europe. And Europe's now bearing down on their inflation rate. Their unemployment rate edged up also for the month of September, went up to 6.5% from 6.4%. I should have mentioned the Bank of England there. They left their cash rate unchanged last week as well at 5.25%. Their inflation rate is still a little bit higher than ours, but their growth is coming back faster and is bearing down on inflation quicker. It's just some of those compare and contrasts which are important now really for Australia. This week in Australia, in Europe, we haven't got a lot of data. We've got things like Centix Investor Confidence Survey, well and truly in negative territory, that one, minus 21.9, going back the previous month, likely to be around that. And we've got September retail sales. Again, expect to be down 0.2%. They were down 1.2% the month before. Compare that with Australia. We were up 0.9% for the most recent month, and the month before we were up 0.6% for retail, 0.3% for retail sales. So this is the reason why Australia is in a different boat to other countries where they appear to be getting towards the top of their interest rate cycle. For us, we're not there yet, and it's you know, maybe the Reserve Bank will surprise and leave things on hold. If it does, it's just going to leave a lot more pressure on them to do it in December. But it does look as if we're going to get a rate hike on Melbourne Cup Day, and that will take the cash rate up to 4.35%.